grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Our text for this morning's message, as I said before, is from our gospel reading we read just a few moments ago, especially this last part. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. Dear friends in Christ. A few years ago, probably more than a few years ago, there was a movie that was out starring Macaulay Culkin about a family who had accidentally left their son at home. Behind at home in Christmas time. They were in a hurry to get out the door to catch a plane and had forgotten him in an upstairs bedroom. It was only later that they realized that he wasn't with them. His parents became frantic and immediately began looking for ways to get back home to find him. And of course, meanwhile, back home, the boy dealt with burglars, cooked his own meals, and actually cleaned up the house before his parents got home. Now, in our gospel lesson today, it kind of sounds like that story. Jesus' parents realize that they've left Jesus back in Jerusalem. Only, of course, he wasn't lost. He'd remained behind on purpose, and for a purpose. He was in his father's house, listening to the temple teachers, and he was asking them questions. And even though it was necessary for him to be there, he still submits to his earthly parents, and he returns home with them. So today we're going to kind of look at what Jesus' obedience actually means for you and me. We'll see how Christ's perfect obedience actually fulfills God's law for us and leaves us an example of our own human obedience to God. I mean, we all, if we're honest with ourselves, we are all among the disobedient children of Adam and Eve. We're all there, right? I mean, because all descendants of Adam share in Adam's disobedience to the Word of God. If you'll recall what they did, instead of listening to the voice of their Creator, they listened to the voice of the deceiver, who tempted them to eat of the forbidden fruit. And they clearly disregarded God's command to not to eat from the tree of which God said, had clearly warned, in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. They did it. They ate of it. And of course, if you look through biblical history, the history of Israel, the history of God's people, the history of the people that are mentioned in Scripture over and over and over again, you see that same scene being played out where the people of God disobey, disobey, and disobey. Adam's children continue to disregard the commands that God has given to them. Now, our own sinful nature, well, we're all descendants of Adam and Eve, and it manifests itself in our daily lives. So instead of using God's name to pray and give thanks, people are more inclined to use it, God's name, to curse and to lie. I mean, and instead of hearing the Word of God and learning it with gladness, a lot of times we grumble and complain if the sermon's a little too long, or if church goes a little bit too long, or if the preacher tells us something that we don't want to hear. And instead of honoring our parents and other authorities, what happens is that we tend to grumble against their authority and often only grudgingly do what they ask us. See, all of the children of Adam and Eve, all of us, therefore share in Adam's condemnation and in his judgment. See, the result of this, according to Romans chapter 3, is the wages of sin is what? Death. Absolutely. The wages of sin is death. He says it in Galatians, in Adam all die because all have sinned. Real simple. Whoever doesn't repent of their disobedience will not only die physically, but will actually experience eternal suffering and torment in hell, eternally separated from God. So our one of the things we should probably daily do is we should daily repent of this and all of our sins, confessing that we are, as we said at the beginning of our service, by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against God in thought, word, and deed, right? And we should be begging God to be merciful to us, because the wonderful thing is that He is merciful to us. You know, we're disobedient children, but of course Jesus is the perfectly obedient Son of God. God has actually shown His mercy to us by sending us and giving to us His Son, who, as it says, who actually emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant. That's what it says in Philippians chapter 2. Being born in the likeness of men. You see, this is actually the point of Christmas, right? If we read in John 1, this is the whole point. In John 1, the Word became flesh, became human flesh, just like you and me, and dwelt among us, so that He could keep the law in the place of sinful humanity, in our place, in your place and mine. Where we failed to obey our Heavenly Father, what happens is that we needed Him, we needed our Heavenly Father to provide someone to do it for us. And the Son of God obeyed the Father's will perfectly. 12-year-old Jesus is, you know, sitting there in Jerusalem. He remains behind. Soon enough, of course, Mary and Joseph become frantic about what's happening until they find Him in the temple. And despite what Mary thought that about Jesus treating His parents badly, why have you treated us this way? This wasn't disobedience at all. Jesus was in His Father's house according to divine necessity. Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? Must. The Greek word there is dei. D-E-I is how we would spell it in English. Dei. That little three-letter word is an amazing word, because that little three-letter word means it is necessary. That's what's translated as, did you not know that I must be? The actual translation is, did you not know that it is necessary that I am in my Father's house? This is, he didn't have any choice. It was necessary for me to be here. Amazing. Jesus had to be there. And then even though He's the Son of God, He is God Himself, Jesus submits to the authority of His earthly parents, just like the fourth commandment tells us to do. And later, of course, Jesus shows His obedience to His Father in heaven, when He submits to the cross in our place. You know, first, He submits to a baptism of repentance for us, where He's identifying fully and completely with sinners. And that identification finally comes on the cross, where He dies in our place for us, that we might be forgiven. Where He became obedient unto death, even death on the cross, as it says in Philippians 2, I think it's chapter 11, or verse 11, 5 through 11. He does it all. He drinks God's the cup of the Father's wrath for us. All of this that He did, the Son of God, perfectly kept the law. He did for you and for me. So then, of course, we as children of our Heavenly Father, children given through being brought into faith through holy baptism, through the Word of God, we now live as obedient children of God, because that's what we are. See, through the active obedience of Christ, our disobedience is forgiven. That what we read in Ephesians, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. See, it's through holy baptism, through the Word of God, we are adopted, as Paul says, as children of God in Christ Jesus, according to the purpose of His will. We are adopted children. And in Christ, therefore, we stand before God, our Father, as righteous and obedient children. Not in our own righteousness, not in our own obedience, but covered with the blanket of Christ's righteousness and Christ's obedience. His perfection covered over us like a cloak. You see, as reborn children of God, we have Christ's righteousness given to it. The theological word, the Lutheran word, is imputed, which I just love that word. It's imputed to us. It's placed upon us like a cloak, like a robe thrown over us, covering all of our sins. It's imputed righteousness given to us. And now, of course, as reborn children of God, adopted through Jesus Christ, through holy baptism, through His Word, we have put off that old sinful self with all of its disobedience, and we've put on Christ. So what does this mean? That's a good Lutheran question, isn't it? What does this mean? With God's help, what it means is that with God's help, we actually follow Christ's example of humility before God and men, doing our best and beginning to actually keep His Word and to obey His commands. No longer then are we fearing, loving, and trusting in other things. We begin to, in faith, to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. We also learn to trust in Him as our only hope, our only refuge, as it says in the explanation, in Luther's explanation to the fear, to the first commandment. Remember, what does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. How about the second commandment? Now we're resisting the temptation to use God's holy name to curse, swear, lie, and deceive, and instead use it to call upon Him in every trouble, to pray, to praise, and to give thanks. That's what God's name is to be used for. And instead, the third commandment, of course, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We actually are now fighting and struggling against our natural inclination to despise preaching of God's Word. And instead, with the help of the Holy Spirit living and growing through our lives, we begin to hold it sacred, and we gladly hear, we gladly learn it. And of course, the fourth commandment, as that we're talking about today, we resist the sinful urge to argue with our parents and other authorities. Instead, we try to listen to them in all eagerness and honor them, serve and obey them, not grudgingly or simply out of fear of punishment, but joyfully, because we do all this out of love for God. That's the motivation. We do it out of love for God, not out of fear or of punishment or condemnation, but joyfully and gladly because Christ's perfect obedience has actually been credited to you and me. It's been given to us. Let's face it, because of our disobedience, we were under God's condemnation and judgment, but because of Christ's obedience, His active obedience for us and carrying out faithfully the will of His Father for us, you and I are counted as righteous and obedient before God. Again, not on our own, only because of Christ, through faith in Him. So we give thanks to God, our Heavenly Father, for sending His beloved Son to fulfill the law of Christ. And now, as reborn children of God, we want to go out and obey our Father as well. And we strive to do that. We follow Christ's example of humble obedience before God and before man. That's our joy. That's our goal. We don't do it in order to be saved. We do it because we have been saved. In His name, amen and amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, now and always. Amen.